All right. A reading from the Good News as told to us by Mark. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Deb, come on up. I wanted to return to the habit of praying for those who are going to be speaking, and today I wanted to pray for Deb. I have just so enjoyed Deb getting to be part of the staff team here, and seeing you. You've always, I'm sure, have had a love for children, but to see your heart expand. And today you're going to be speaking to us, connecting these ideas. So I want to pray for you. Father, for my sister, as she opens your word and her heart to us today, may your spirit be upon her. May you give us, as a congregation, sensitive ears that are just ready to hear. And will you give Deb a sense of joy that she gets to share this, that she gets to do this. Bless her, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
I speak with my hands. This gets in the way. Well, like Phil said, I am Deborah Zener Davis. I am a member here at Church Without Walls and the interim children's ministry director. I am also a recovering control freak, perfectionist, and a hard worker. So I have the privilege of finishing our series on finding God in unexpected places. And I'm excited to be able to share with you about what is God has done and is doing in my life. So come on a journey with me. I'm going to take you way back. Far back in my life. I accepted Jesus into my life when I was 5 years old. That was a long time ago, y'all. I grew up going to church. My father was a pastor, so Bible study Wednesday nights, or during the week, because we were in church on Wednesday nights. Wednesday night church service. Two services on Sunday, so we were at church a lot. I don't remember a time of not knowing about Jesus. And as a kid, I knew he loved me And I loved him. In fact, we sang a song about that. Some of you may be old enough to remember the song. It starts, Jesus loves me, and goes on. I will not sing it for you, because that would be painful. For you, not me. And everything was great. Everything seemed normal. I love Jesus. We went to church. This is how things are supposed to be. Then shortly before I turned 7, things changed. They started to fall apart. My father started drinking and became an alcoholic. Things at home became unpredictable, frightening, not safe. My dad had a hard time keeping a job, so money stress entered our home in ways that it hadn't been before. And I, like many children of alcoholics, what I'm going to tell you is not uncommon. I took on additional responsibilities around the house and developed coping mechanisms. All of the coping mechanisms were subconscious. There was no thought process in my childhood mind going on with this. They just happened. As I took on the responsibilities, I never complained because it was something I could do. And doing things and doing them well and doing them perfectly helped me feel safe, helped me feel like I had some kind of control in a situation where things were out of control. In my relationship I continued to have a relationship with Jesus, but that changed a little bit too. I was having trouble trusting that the people around me that were supposed to take care of me would take care of me. So I needed to work to make sure things happened. And that translated into my relationship with Jesus. I needed a plan. So I developed a plan. I needed an exit plan. I never tried to run away, in case that's the first thing that came to mind. I was not bold enough or courageous enough to ever think about that, or creative. I didn't know where I'd go. There was no place to go. So I never tried to run away. But I remember really young knowing the way out was, wait for it, college. I would go to college, and that's how I would get out. So I did everything in my power to make that happen. I worked hard in school. I was not athletic, so athletic scholarships were not going to happen. But I was pretty good at school. So I worked hard, used the skills God gave me. It's like, if I can get a scholarship, get into a good school, I'll be out. I'll be able to control what's around me. None of this is conscious, by the way. This is all looking back. And so my plan was going well. In high school, I worked hard. I did well. I was accepted at UC Berkeley. Woohoo! Go Bears! I received a scholarship, so I was going to be able to go without needing to trust that my parents would do this. And I felt like I was doing it on my own, but it's a little warped, because there was a part of me that thought this was his plan for me too, and that he was helping me in it, but I still found the need to work hard to make it happen. So it's this weird thing of saying, okay, I trust you, God, but then I'm going to do what I need to do to make your plan work. I see now, looking back, that's pretty warped, but there is a lot of warped stuff going on. Working hard, to me, equaled control, equaled safety, and I needed to do it myself. So hard work became my default. However, in all this, there is no freedom. It was not fun work. It wasn't joyful work. It was just hard work. So I told you I had a plan. I came to Cal, and Berkeley was the promised land. For those of you who love Berkeley, you're like, really? No, Berkeley was the promised land. It was a place to be away from the lack of control in the home growing up, a place where I could be with other smart people in this diverse area. It was awesome. So my freshman year, I got involved with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So I was still following Jesus. Classes were going well. I was having a really good time. my plan was working. I was going to double major, biochemistry and social welfare. I'd done well in science and liked it in college. So I thought, no, this is a good plan. Let's go with that. I wasn't really stopping and asking God. I just thought, this is how I see it, so let's go with it. And my plan was working. I know you're always wondering, so okay, what happened? Well, my freshman year, not freshman year, first semester of my sophomore year of college, I failed organic chemistry. That is 5 units of F. My friends were affirming. They said, you and half the class failed, which isn't quite true, but it felt like it. There is a large number of people who fail. It's a course that's well known for that. That was no consolation. Not at all. I had never failed anything ever. In high school, I hadn't gotten anything below an A. Now my plan was falling apart. My ego was busted, was a little bruised too. My ego needed to be bruised, but it's still painful. But my plan was falling apart. Now what? But God was there. He never left. He was there. I just didn't know how much I needed him. And I was certainly not acting like it. Summer of my sophomore year, I was invited to attend a missions trip in the Yucatan, Mexico, teaching a vacation Bible school to children. And I was invited. I thought it was a calling from God, so I said yes. I was wholly unqualified for this trip. I don't speak Spanish. I hadn't worked with kids prior to that. All that being said, I went. The first 2 days in the Yucatan were am I going the wrong direction? Oh, there we go. So this is my freshman year. I lost track of my slides. So can you find me? This is also very vulnerable. Can you find me? Yeah, I know. So I lived up at Clarkhurst. So that was my freshman year. That was our Bible study. So we went to the Yucatan, Mexico. I was with a fantastic team. They did speak Spanish. But I could not communicate on my own. I got there and was like, what do I have to give? Nothing. Felt like nothing. The first 2 days were amazingly, amazingly hard. But God knows me, and he knew me, and he knew exactly what I needed. So 3 or 4 days into the trip, I woke up, and something had changed. I was happy. I wasn't happy. I was joyful. I was free. It was like something broke loose. But not a painful breaking. Think butterfly coming out of a cocoon. I was free to laugh. Free to dance, free to play with the kids, free to be silly. Yeah, these are old. Remember, some of you weren't alive before there were when you had to print pictures. So I found some very old pictures. They're not high quality. That is Phil Cunliffe, for those of you who are wandering over to your right. He's the only one that you'll recognize there. Some of you who were in college when I was will recognize the other folks. But there was freedom. Freedom to communicate with universal body language, which is semi-effective and sometimes really funny. But being able to laugh at that was new. Not needing to be perfect, not having to come with something to give, not being productive was new. But there was freedom. I had no choice but to trust God and the team of people I was with. There was nothing. And the freedom there in that, just trusting that God was enough, that I could come as I am, and all he asked me to do was come, was freeing and amazing. I had nothing to give, but God met me. despite the climate being humid and mosquitoes particularly like me, and DEET does not work. It is completely ineffective, just in case you wanted to know. So my plan for my life had failed, but when I got back to the U.S., I felt like God had stirred in me a love for people that I think had always been there, but I hadn't seen, love for individuals, cultures, societies, and especially for the marginalized. So OCHEM was out, social welfare was in. So I continued, but lost sight of the freedom of trusting God. The coping mechanisms that kept me alive and safe as a child are deep and very tangled together. And God knows this, and He knew this, so He had patience with me. So I worked hard again and continued to do that. And as I moved into adult life, continued to work hard. And through that, God continued to bless me. He never left me. He was always still there. He and I told God that I wasn't going to get hung up in perfection today. So that's what's happening right now. And the thing is, that's okay. And I'm all right with that. What I was going to say was He blessed me with a wonderful husband, beautiful children. They're sometimes okay. Other times, you know, they're not here to hear this, and they will probably not listen to the recording. No, I love my children. They're great. A fantastic church community. And you all have seen ebbs and flows in our life, hard times. And yes, I prayed, but all the time I was trying to do things on my own. I felt like I had to work hard, that somehow trusting God and what He had for me wasn't enough, but I still had to work hard. I needed to have some kind of control. And some of you know this next story. In 2015, I lost my job in the pharmaceutical industry. I was laid off. And at that time, I took some time to discern and figure out what I should do, because I was feeling this urge to move out of the pharmaceutical industry. And so I listened. And I felt like God was drawing me to diversity, equity, inclusion, and opening a business of some kind in that area. But I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I had all the excuses. What do I know about starting a business? I have no experience. I've taught and researched diversity, equity, and inclusion, but what do I have to give? So I went back and chose what I knew. So I went looked for a for-sure job, which there is no such thing. That's a unicorn. But in my mind at that time, that's what it was. So I got a job with a medical device company in Emeryville, worked with a wonderful team of people, made a couple of fantastic friends. God was still blessing me, even though I was still trying to work my way into His blessings. Then, shortly before the pandemic, I received notice that my job was moving to North Carolina. So we took time. Tim and I are both native Californians. Our kids are in school here. And we thought, well, let's pray and see if He has something for us there. Nah, North Carolina wasn't what He had for us. So we stayed. And I went back to doing what I normally did. I know how to look for a job. I applied for jobs I was fully qualified for. I applied for jobs that were a little bit of a stretch. I still felt this sense and heard this little voice saying, I can't do this with this. What about diversity, equity, and inclusion? But all that being said, I was still wondering. So I was still looking, and nothing. Even jobs I was fully qualified for, nothing. No one wanted me. No one wanted to hire me. So I said, okay, God, I'll listen. So I got a executive certificate in diversity, equity, and inclusion, did research on how to start a business in California. It's expensive to open a business in California. and started and last. So February 2023, I opened a diversity, equity, and inclusion consulting company. It has not blown up and thousands of clients. In fact, I have not had a client yet, and I've been working part-time while I'm doing this. But I'm day-to-day doing what I need to do, looking for help, trusting that God has something for me there. Do I doubt? Yes, sometimes. But I come back and say, okay, God, I'm following you. What do you have for me? So I did have a part-time contract job that I had for quite a while. When that ended last year, I needed to find another part-time job so that we can pay our bills. It is expensive in the Bay Area. And so I started looking for part-time jobs. And nothing. Crickets. Even part-time, no one wanted to hire me. And then last July, Anne approached me about the interim children's ministry director position. That position hadn't been on my radar at all. I don't have experience. What do I have to give? But I decided to say yes. It's interim, right? Little did I know what God had in store for me. It has been amazing working with the CWOW kids. I see you. Thanks for staying for my talk, Gabe. But it has been truly amazing. The kids are wonderful. Your kids, my kids, his kids, God's kids. They have been such a gift. They are not predictable. They are not... I come as I am, and it's okay. Sure, I have to plan. There's work that goes into this. There's curriculum. So parents here, I know you all know that I don't let them run free. There is a plan, but we move with it. So one day, the craft, they're not feeling it. All right, let's see what else we can do. So the story, it's not really hitting. Okay, let's move on. It's okay. I become more agile, more free to trust that God has a plan for me, for the kids, and it's going to be okay. And like in Mexico, the freedom not to be perfect, not to be in control, has been truly amazing. It has gone deeper than it has throughout my life. It's a journey, y'all. It's not a one-time thing, and God is patient with us, which I'm grateful for. In the passage, Jesus told his disciples, truly I tell you, oh, and I have actually more pictures. So these are the kids, and these are some of the fun things we did. This was at the beginning of the summer, at the end of the summer when we were starting. We were just having fun.
That looks like a game that's hitting.
That's what?
It's a game that's hitting.
Yeah, no, they really like this.
Yeah.
Y'all want to do... We have craft. This is a Lenten craft we did. This was last week. I think some of you saw the kids come out with their binoculars. Until recently, this passage... growing up, this passage baffled me. I did not understand it in the slightest. But I think I understand it now. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is a gift. It doesn't say anything in there about working harder. There's no 10-step process for entering the kingdom of heaven. There's no clear map except to come. It's a gift. And we have to come as children, utterly dependent. Infants can't do anything themselves. They are utterly dependent on the adults around them. That's how we need to become to enter the kingdom of heaven. The man later in the passage comes and asks, what must he do? And Jesus tells him to sell all his possessions and give the money to the poor. He needed to become utterly dependent and he walked away. And this is a lot of how I've lived my life, not fully trusting God. However, it's a journey, and I'm on a process, and I'm in process. I'm still not good at giving up control, and it has not become my new default, but that's okay. God is with me. He's walking gently with me and teaching me. And I want to invite you to also join me in trusting God more fully, to become fully dependent on Him rather than the things we think we can control. I know it's a fallacy in my head, but I was living like that was not a flat fallacy. So again, I invite you to join me in the journey of trusting God. So reflections for this week, take some time to remember the times that God has provided for you. Ask the question, where do you find your security? Is it in God, or is it masked in something else? I thought I was following God, but it was masked in hard work. But it was the hard work masked in following God. Where is God calling you to give up control? And where is God calling you to trust in Him more fully? So these are things to think about as we go into Holy Week. So I'd like to pray to lead us. I'd like to pray as I close. Lord Jesus, thank you for the ways you love us, that you have our best interest in mind. I ask that you would lead us and guide us as we move into Holy Week, remembering you and all that you've done for us. Help us to trust you more, to give you our security, and to give up those things that we find comfort, that we have put our trust in. In your name, amen.
Amen.